This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal.
With the acknowledgement that competition in business can be fierce, no matter the industry and no matter the size of the businesses in question, it is tough to pick out a sector of this economy that's more cutthroat right now than streaming. Almost every big media company's got a streaming service, and those that don't are working on it real hard. So a couple of minutes now on what the future of the streaming economy might have in store for us. Luis Cabral is a professor of economics at NYU, where he studies, among other things, the industrial dynamics of media and entertainment companies. Dr. Cabral, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Give me a primer, would you, right now on the state of the film industry, streaming, physical copies, you name it. What's your sense?
Well, my sense is that production is much more fragmented than it was 20 years ago. In other words, independent producers have risen and they are now in great number. And the distribution, of course, has changed greatly from 30, 40 years ago, yeah, from theatrical distribution to primarily streaming. That's another big shock in the industry in recent years.
So yes to all of that. Let me ask you, though, about the business imperative now of some of those streaming services. If you look at HBO Max, right, owned by Warner Brothers Discovery, and if you look at Netflix, they are now challenged because of, to steal a phrase from Fareed Zakaria, the rise of the rest, right? Netflix was doing great for a very long time, and now everybody else has a streaming service. HBO Max was doing great, but now everybody's got a streaming service. There is some degree of cannibalization happening here, right?
There is a lot of cannibalization, and there's also a lot of fragmentation. You know, some people are beginning to long for the old days of cable because, you know, with cable, you know, you had one provider, you had 100 channels, you only watched two or three of those. So that was bad because you were paying for a lot of channels you weren't watching. But at least you knew where to go. Now it just became a little chaotic. So to me, if you ask me about the future, I think there's some element of coordination and consolidation that's waiting to happen. It's going to have to happen sooner or later.
Do you have concerns about streaming as a business enterprise at all?
Well, the way things have happened in recent years, I think it's turned into a very high stakes and high risk enterprise. Now, if you're Amazon Prime Studios, of course, you can leverage that with the rest of the business and their synergies and so forth. But if you look at Netflix, I mean, they spend billions of dollars. They've created a lot of good content, but it's an iffy proposition. What if it doesn't pan out? And this battle that the big streamers are undertaking to really establish their foot, it is jockeying for position, it could turn into a bloody battle, and there could be victims of it.
What does that mean then for the consumer, right?
For the time being, I think it's great. I honestly think that the amount and the quality of content that's been produced in the past decade, it's unparalleled in history. And this is not about what economists refer to as the recency effect, that we sometimes have a tendency to put more weight on recent events. No, I actually think this is objective, with the exception of access through streaming, which is a little chaotic right now. So qualifying that, but if you're willing to have, say, 6 or 7 subscriptions going on, if you're willing to spend $100 a month,
right,
it's the goodest time in history to be watching content.
Right. Right. The catch, of course, is there are two catches. First of all, every time I sit down and I turn on Netflix and I flip through, there's nothing I really want to watch. So that's a challenge. But, you know, everybody's got their own tastes, I suppose. But number two, not everybody can afford 6 or 7 subscriptions a month, right?
Yeah. That is exactly what I was mentioning. And there's a lot of money being left on the table. In other words, there are a lot of situations when people would be willing to pay $5 for a movie,
right,
and they're not paying that because the way the system is organized right now, it does not allow the seller to allow this person to pay $5 for a particular movie. And that's why I'm saying that this is really asking for some reorganization of the way the consumer has access to the stream.
Cutting the stream. Luis Cabral, he's a professor of economics and international business at the Stern School at NYU. Professor Cabral, thanks very much for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.